जय जय राम श्री राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Srimad Bhagavatam. The perfection of life is when our hearts know nothing more dear than Krishna. More dear than our wealth, our position, our family, friends. More dear even than our very life. It is this quality that qualifies one for pure devotional service. When we achieve this stage of detachment, knowledge, and devotion, then only can we enter into the spiritual world. Lord Krishna has explained in Bhagavad Gita, Tatvavana mayastristam guna karma vivagasha. He has divided human societies into four varnas and four ashrams. The varnas are one's occupational duties, and the ashrams is one's particular spiritual status. If we examine according to Srimad Bhagavat, all of the ashrams are geared toward increasing the quality of our renunciation. Sense gratification diverts our attention away from the real source of pleasure, Satchidananda Vigraha, Sri Krishna. And the objects of sense gratification, whether they be what gives the gross pleasure to our senses, or even loved ones around us who give a subtle form of gratification, they are all obstacles which tears our hearts away from Krishna. Therefore, for brahmachari, he has nothing except his service to Krishna. All the rules and regulations of a grihastha are to regulate one's life in such a way that one puts more and more and more emphasis on detachment from sense gratification, possessiveness, and attachment to Krishna. Culminating in vanaprast, where the wife and husband have nothing else in common except the service of Krishna. And then there is sannyas, where one is socially dead for the purpose of service to Krishna. To sacrifice our lives in the service of God is actually the greatest, rarest fortune. When Srila Prabhupada was laying in his what people call deathbed, where his body was so emaciated and weak, he could not even stand up for a moment. He wanted to go to London to preach. The doctors thought, impossible. Srila Prabhupada explained that my Guru Maharaj wants me to fight for Krishna. And I will consider it glorious if in the battlefield for Krishna I give my last breath fighting to preach his message. That is sacrifice. This ultimate aspiration of truly sacrificing our lives in the service of the Lord was wonderfully personified in this particular place that we are sitting today. This is the place that that great Vaishnav, Jatayu, willingly sacrificed his life for the service of Lord Sri Rama. In Sri Valmiki Muni's Ramayana, this story is told. According to my insignificant remembrance, I will try to share with you some of this great history. Because by hearing of the devotional service of the Vaishnavas, we awaken the pleasure of Krishna within our hearts. What is the holy scriptures which emphasize bhakti? Srimad Bhagavatam, its main emphasis is the glorious activities of the devotees of the Lord in their surrender to Krishna. Similarly, Ramayana, its main focus is the love between the Lord and his devotees, as is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahabharata. Yesterday we were at Tapovan, where we discussed Ravana's kidnapping of Sita, the eternal consort of Sri Ram. He took her on his formidable chariot, which was being drawn by 10 gigantic, cruel asses, armed with all sorts of the most deadly weapons, with Sita held by his 10 hands, screaming the holy names of Ram and Lakshmi. He flew through the sky. He came over this place. There the great king of the forest of Dandakaranya, Jatayu by name, was sitting on a big tree, asleep. His eyes were closed. Sita saw this dear, dear friend of Lord Ram. I'd like to go back a little. When Lord Sri Ram was first coming toward Panchavati, he met with Jatayu. And Jatayu and he were such intimate friends. Jatayu was very, very old and a dear associate of Maharaj Dasarath. Jatayu then vowed to Ram that although there are many terrible Rakshasas here, you should know that I will give my life to protect your Sita. On this particular day when Ravana was flying overhead, Sita saw Jatayu sleeping on a tree, and she called out his name. Oh Jatayu, you are the truest of all devotees and the best of our friends. See how this deadly Rakshasa beast, Ravana, has torn me away from my beloved Ram. Just like a jackal steals a sheep from its shepherd. Oh Jatayu, you are very old, and Ravana is very young and strong. He is undefeatable in battle, and he is hardened by hundreds and hundreds of wars in which he was victorious. Please, Jatayu, do not try to resist him. It will not be possible. But when you see my Ram and Lakshman, inform them that I have been stolen by Ravana and that they should please come and save me. Upon hearing this, Jatayu woke up. His eyes opened, and he saw overhead his most worshipable deity, the goddess of fortune, Sita, in the captivity of the terrible Rakshasa king, Ravan. Jatayu could not tolerate this. Such an offense to his lord and his consort. He called in great anger to Ravana. O ten-headed Rakshasa, Dasamukha, you have no right to steal the property of Rama. I am Jatayu. I am coming from a line of great devotees of Sri Ram. I am his surrendered servant. I have given my life for all the years, long, long years that I have been living on this earth. At every moment it has been a surrendering offering to the lotus feet of Sri Ram. You should know this only as my identity, that I am his servant. And who is Ram? He is the son of Dasarath. He is Satchidananda, the supreme lord of all lords. He is the lord of Indra, Varuna, Vayu, Kavera. He is also your king. Ravana, how cowardly you are. A king is meant to protect. To steal another man's wife is the greatest sin. It is against the principles of Dharma. Rama will destroy you. You have taken a hook, like a fish swallowing a hook. You have taken Sita, who will be the very cause of your death. Ravana, I am very old. I have been living in this forest for tens and thousands of years, and I am weary from ruling over it for so long. I am at the fag end of my life. And yet, you are very young, at the strongest point of your life. And you have a big chariot. You have charioteer, bows, arrows, daggers, lances, brahmastras, and every type of weapon. The only weapons I have are my claws and my beak. But I will not let you take Sita away. You should know this. As long as there is any breath of life in my body, you will not take Sita from this spot. Ravana, you have come to my home. You are my guest. I must offer you something. I offer you a battle till death. Upon hearing this, Ravana was very much insulted and enraged. He jumped off his chariot and started a fierce battle with Jatayu. Ravana took his bow and arrows and started shooting arrows as hard as he could. Jatayu with his wings were just pushing away the arrows as they were coming. Then Ravana took 10 special, mystical, all-powerful arrows and started shooting them into Jatayu. With his wings, he just pushed them away. Ravana was fighting with all of his strength. Jatayu jumped upon Ravana, and with his mighty claws, he started pulling the flesh and scratching blood from Ravana's body. This made Ravana even more angry. He started shooting arrows so fast, very, very deadly, with 1,000 arrows. 10,000 arrows, tens and thousands of arrows were flying within seconds at Jatayu. It appeared like he was completely covered, like the sun covered by black clouds. His body was pierced from head to toe with these arrows.
But Jatayu, with his wings, just kept pushing them away, pushing them away, pushing them away. Then he saw Sita on the chariot, weeping in separation from Lord Ram. Upon seeing this, he got redoubled strength. Even though shot with 10,000s of arrows, he leaped at Ravana. First, with his claws, he killed all the 10 donkeys. Then, with his wings, he smashed to pieces Ravana's chariot. He broke the flag on top of the chariot. He broke to pieces the proud umbrella that was shading Ravana from the sun. Then he took and broke Ravana's bow. Ravana took a new bow and started shooting him. Jatayu broke that bow. He took a new bow and started shooting him. Jatayu then, with his beak, he cut off the head of the charioteer of Ravana. Ravana understood this is a very serious fight. He was without his charioteer, he was without his chariot, he was without his horses, he was without his weapons. But he saw that Jatayu, due to his old age, had become very, very tired. So what did Ravana want to do? Jatayu spoke to Ravana at that point. He said, Ravana, you will not escape with your life. Give back Sita. Ram is soon to come. Why don't you be a hero and wait for him and fight? Why are you fleeing like a coward? If you take Sita, it will be the destruction of your entire Rakshasa dynasty. You are behaving like a person who is drinking the deadliest poison because he's so much inflicted by thirst. This is what sense gratification means. Sometimes the senses torment us. And we try to satisfy them by engaging in illicit activities. What is this like? Jatayu explains. It is like a person who is suffering by the fire of terrible, terrible thirst, and to quench that thirst drinks the deadliest poison. After speaking these very golden words to Ravana, Ravana saw Jatayu was very tired. So what did Ravana do? He tried to escape. He picked up Sita and started flying into the sky. Jatayu, he leaped upon Ravana, jumped on his back, started digging his claws into Ravana's back, tearing apart his flesh. With his beak, he started biting off huge, ugly lumps of flesh from Ravana's back and spitting it, eating it. Ravana was being tortured. He was in such terrible, terrible pain, he could not tolerate it. He was holding Sita with 10 of his hands. He started picking up various other weapons to fight with Jatayu. Jatayu, with his beak, completely severed the 10 hands that were holding Sita. Instantly, 10 more hands grew, just like snakes come out of their holes in the ground. Jatayu was fighting so ferociously against Ravana that Ravana put down Sita, and with all of his 10 arms, he had 20 arms, with all of his 20 arms, he jumped at Jatayu, and they started beating each other with their fists. Of course, Jatayu doesn't have fists, his wings. They were fighting and fighting. It was a ferocious battle that lasted over 1 hour. Jatayu became so much tired. Ravana was very pleased to see this. Taking advantage of his youth and Jatayu's very, very old age, Ravana drew his sword and sliced off the wings and the feet of Jatayu, who was bleeding profusely, and fell to the ground like a great mountain. Upon seeing this, Sita Devi, her heart was utterly broken to see this devotee in such terrible, terrible pain, on the verge of death. Sita was weeping, crying, screaming out for Ram. She ran to the side of Jatayu, started to embrace him. She was embracing this big, huge, bloody vulture. She would not let go of his body, speaking such sweet words of love to him. Oh, Ram, this man-eating demoniac Rakshasa Ravana, he has stolen me away from you. And look at what he has done to your dear devotee. Jatayu has willingly sacrificed his very life to save me. And now he is laying in a pool of blood on the verge of death. In such deep appreciation of the devotional service of Jatayu, Sita was showering her blessings upon him. Ravana was so angry. He ordered Sita to come, but she would not let go of Jatayu. Ravana grabbed her and pulled her, but she would not let go. She was holding on, weeping and crying. She did not want to give up the association of this great devotee. Ultimately, Ravana snatched her away at this very place. Sita began to hold on to each and every tree she could find in this forest. And Ravana would pull her away from that tree, and she would grab onto another tree. Ravana would pull her away from that tree, she would grab onto another tree, until finally he pulled her away, put her on his shoulders, and began his flight to Sri Lanka. At that time, this place, which is today called Tarek, was a very, very secluded forest. In fact, no human being had even ever come here. It was such a deep, dense forest. Ravana brought Sita to Sri Lanka, where he harassed her in so many ways to surrender to his will. However, Sita, being the most chaste, devoted, loving consort of Sri Ram, could not even consider all the wealth of Sri Lanka. She preferred living in the forests under a simple little thatched hut made by Lakshman, if she was with Ram, over the beautiful, beautiful, bejeweled, golden, silver palaces of Lanka. This is devotional service. Are we attached to facilities or are we attached to Krishna? Will we give up our chaste, faithful service to Lord Krishna for anything of this world? Real simplicity is to simply be satisfied with Krishna, by serving his devotees, by hearing his glories, by chanting his holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
We described yesterday in our Srimad Bhagavatam class the lamentation of Sri Ram when he found that Sita had disappeared. He and Lakshman were searching through the forests of Dandakaranya. There was no clue of where she had gone, except when the animals looked up in the sky and then ran to the south. They took that as an indication that someone, a Rakshasa, must have taken her away in the southern direction. But other than that, there was no clue. As they traveled, sometimes they would see a flower on the ground, the type of flowers that Sita would be very fond to pick. Sometimes they would find a little piece of the jewelry of Sita, which led them on forward. Then Ram and Lakshman came to this spot where they saw Jatayu, a big, mountainous, black vulture covered with blood. There was blood everywhere. Ram thought and then spoke to Lakshman. Ah, what misfortune has befallen upon us. Look at what we have discovered. This terrible, terrible beast has eaten my beloved Sita. Her blood is all around, and now he's laying there to digest. At this very moment, I will slay this cruel beast. Ram drew his bow with an arrow. Jatayu, he was laying and piteously spoke to Sri Ram. I am Jatayu. I am your servant. The dear friend of your father, Dasarath. Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas. He came flying overhead with your beautiful Sita on his chariot. I tried to stop him. I challenged him to battle. I broke his chariot to pieces, killed his donkey carriers. I destroyed his charioteer. I broke all of his bows and arrows. I tore his armor to pieces that was protecting his body. But due to my old age, he has cut off my wings and my feet. He has taken away my life. But worse than that is he has taken away your Sita. Ram, when he understood that his dearest devotee was laying there on the verge of death, he dropped his bow and arrow and fell at the feet of Jatayu and began to embrace him. How he embraced him. Seeing the condition of Jatayu, Ram began to weep with such despondency. He rolled in the dust of this very place to see his devotee in this condition of life. He embraced Jatayu again and again and rubbed each and every limb of his body. Although Jatayu was covered with the blood due to the arrows, the swords, and the severed limbs caused by Ravana. Lord Ram asked, who is this Ravana? Why did he steal Sita from me? What did I do against him that he is treating me like this? And how is Sita? What was her condition? What did she speak to you? Please tell me, Jatayu, what are the features of this Ravana? Where does he reside so I may find my Sita? Jatayu explained, O Rama, O master of my life, Ravana has stolen your Sita. I tried my best, but I could not protect her. But please know that you should not grieve, because you will find Ravana. You will fight him in battle and destroy him, and for many, many ages you will enjoy great happiness with Sita. This much I know. Then Jatayu began to cough great quantities of blood from his beak. Blood was pouring out. Jatayu could no longer speak, but how grateful he was that he gave his life in the service of Ram. Lord Sri Ramchandra was asking, please, please tell me more. But Jatayu could not. With the holy name of Ram and Sita on his lips, manifesting within his heart, Jatayu laid his head back with his eyes beholding the beautiful form of his worshipable Lord, Sri Ramchandra. Upon the disappearance of Jatayu, Lord Sri Ram wept. How he wept. He said to Lakshman, what a great misfortune has come upon me. I was living in Ayodhya, which was my kingdom, and due to Kaikeyi, I lost my throne. Worse than that, my misfortune is so great, I was not even allowed to remain as a beggar in my own kingdom of Ayodhya. I had to come to this forest, this dangerous forest of Dandakaranya. But there was one joy I had, my beloved Sita. But due to my misfortune now, Sita has been taken away from me. In this condition, I have only one solace, my dearest friends. And there is no dearer friend than devotee, than Jatayu. And now he has been taken away from me. Then the lamentation and grief in my heart that I am experiencing by losing Sita, I am feeling at the death of Jatayu. I loved him more than my own father, Dasarath. What kind of devotee is this Jatayu? I lost my kingdom by force. Jatayu is the king of a kingdom far bigger than mine. He is the king of the entire Dandakaranya forest and all the feathered birds throughout the world. He sacrificed, and he was the sole emperor for tens and thousands of years. He sacrificed his entire kingdom and his very life in my service. It is impossible for me ever to repay the unlimited debt that I have toward this devotee, Jatayu. Sri Ramchandra told told to Lakshman that my misfortune is so great that I want to enter fire and burn myself. But if I enter fire, my evil fortune is burning so much that it will burn the fire. If I go to drown myself at the bottom of the ocean, I am so unfortunate that the entire ocean will dry up. There is no way I can express my grief to see what has happened to my truest, dearest friend, Jatayu. It was my hope, it was my dream, that since my father Dasarath was gone, I would spend my life living in the association of Jatayu. But that dream is finished. With my own hands, I will perform the last rites of my devotee, who I love more dear than my own father. Lakshman, prepare a royal, beautiful funeral pyre for Jatayu. Lakshman collected huge quantities of beautiful wood and assembled it all here to create a funeral pyre. Jatayu's body was placed on that. And Sri Ramchandra personally chanted the Vedic mantras that a son chants at the funeral of his own father. And then Ramchandra took the flame, and just when he was about to light the body on fire, he offered a prayer. He said, Jatayu, please know this. On this day, on the strength of my performing the last rites for you, your soul will immediately return to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, to be my eternal associate. Then Lord Sri Ram performed the last rite of lighting the pyre. Ram and Lakshman then went to Godavari to take their bath and purify themselves. And Sri Ram, with tears of love in his eyes, offered oblations from this holy goddess Godavari, oblations for the departed soul of Jatayu. This beautiful pastime reveals the nature of a devotee's love for the Lord, as well as the nature of the Lord's love for his devotees. The story of Jatayu brings upon our minds the very essence of what we should be striving to achieve in our life. Jatayu sacrificed everything. But what is most wonderful is he knew for sure that he did not have a chance of defeating Ravana. Sita even told him, do not try to fight Ravana, you will be killed. Just tell Ram. But Jatayu, he could not stand there and allow Sita to be taken away without giving his life. Sometimes we fight in battle thinking maybe we will win or maybe we will lose. For Jatayu, it was obvious he would lose. But he considered it the greatest honor and fortune to die in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How many of us are so much attached to our lives that for a flickering bit of sense gratification, we're willing to give up our service to the Lord. Have we ever pondered this sincerely within our hearts? What is really valuable to us? This temporary body? Or our eternal relationship with the all-resplendent personality of Krishna? This is the real criterion of sincerity. We may not have it, but we should pray for it. We should long for it. In fact, we should perform our sadhana and our bhakti in such a way that someday we will attain it. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prays, Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor abilun tu alpade nanda kishor. My Lord, my body, my mind, my words, my home, my family, my very life, it is all your property. O Nanda Kumar, please let me use it all in your service. I am your servant. If you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can protect me. It doesn't matter. Let me live and let me die for you, my Lord. The story of Jatayu is a very, very grave and serious lesson to all of us. As Jatayu was laying there in his last moments, Lord Ram, wanting to give him comfort, shot an arrow in the ground behind a tree, or just at the base of a tree, behind this temple, and from it sprung water. That water entered into the mouth of Jatayu. And to this very day, just where we see here, the water is coming from the base of the tree and it is filling this nice kund. In the temple are deities of Sitaram and Lakshman. This is a special, unique temple we will find nowhere else in the whole earth. It is the temple of Jatayu, the beautiful Murti of the King of the Vultures is giving his darshan for all of us. We should go to that temple and we should pray at the lotus feet of Jatayu. Please bless me with that type of surrender that you have for Lord Ram. Ram was most merciful to those who had devotion. This is a story that illustrates to the extreme extent how the Lord is not concerned with one's particular caste or birth. Even amongst birds, vultures are considered not the most auspicious. In the life of Sri Ramanujacharya, one time a Shudra died. And one of the great, great mahants of Ramanuja's associates performed the last rites for this person. And he was being criticized by the other Brahmins and others in the area. So Ramanujacharya asked, why are you performing the last rites for a sutra? You're being criticized by so many. And he cited the story of Ram performing the last rites for Jatayu. He said, this Sudra was a great devotee. He was a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. He was a Vaishnava. Therefore, I consider it for the purification of my heart that I have done this service for him. Even if one is born in the family of dog eaters, one can be guru and deliver the whole world if one sincerely and offenselessly chants the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In this beautiful shaded forest we are sitting, let us all sincerely pray. In our prayer, ponder upon the message that the Lord revealed in this place to all of us. In our prayer, let us evaluate and reevaluate where we really stand in our devotional service to Lord Krishna. And let us pray like beggars, that we can understand what is the true wealth of life. We all have to die today or tomorrow. If we can just give this life as a sacrificial offering for the pleasure of the Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful offering that will be. How much pleased and blessed the Lord, how much pleased the Lord will be and blessed we will be. Well, let us take a few moments to contemplate and to pray in this spirit, in this sacred forest. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Nama
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pricharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Aschachyate Satharine
Namaste Saraswati Deve
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Krishna, 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 Krish
Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadev Goswami narrates to Maharaj Parikshit the story of the great sage Karadama Muni, who was living in the forest performing tapasya, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead inspired him to accept the household order of life. Swayambhuva Manu was the king of all of mankind. He lived in the most royal palace. However, he was such a humble, sincere, and loving devotee that everything he did was for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Everything he had, he used in the service of Lord Narayan. His daughter's name was Devahuti. One daughter. She was the embodiment of all good qualities, and so beautiful that even the great demigods from their airplanes, if they happened to see her, they would be so infatuated they would fall from their airplanes down to the ground. Generally, we find that a father is very concerned about the financial capabilities of a potential husband for their daughter. However, Swayambhuva Manu, his only concern was that he could find a husband that would protect his wife in such a way that she would never take birth again in this material world, but achieve the ultimate perfection of pure bhakti. So it was by the will of the Lord that Swayambhuva Manu chose Kardama Muni to marry his daughter. She left her beautiful, beautiful palace with all the luxuries that anyone could imagine, so many maidservants. This princess lived deep in the jungles with her husband, who was an ascetic. She was such a chaste wife, she would not eat until after her husband ate. The problem with this is he never ate. He would sit in samadhi for sometimes weeks and weeks and months at a time. And she would always just be waiting for him. After many years, her hair was matted. Her beautiful, beautiful form was emaciated due to living such a rough and difficult life. However, she never once complained. She always had the most sweet, loving disposition to serve him and to please him. This is the model of a perfect Vedic wife. Of course, Kardama Muni was also a perfect Vedic husband, because he was always fixed in the purest principles of morality and devotion. When he saw his wife in this condition, his heart melted. What type of person is this, that she has sacrificed all the beauties and pleasures of the world just to serve me? And in order to faithfully do that, what kind of hardship she has accepted and never once complained. I must satisfy her desire. Every wife, not every wife, but most every wife, naturally wants to have a child. So Kardama Muni decided to give her child. So by his mystic powers, he created a beautiful lake by which, after bathing in, all of her youth and beauty was restored. Then he created an aerial mansion, very, very fantastic aerial mansion that can fly all over outer space to different planets. And there he satisfied Devahuti by first granting her the benediction of having 9 daughters and then a son. But from such a pure Vaishnav and pure Vaishnavi, not an ordinary son is born. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devahuti in his illustrious incarnation of Lord Kapila Dev. The Supreme Lord has 6 opulences. Krishna, who is Bhagavan, possesses all these 6 opulences to the ultimate, fullest extent. And in his various avatars, he possesses all 6 opulences, but there is predominance of one particular opulence. Just like Lord Ram, the opulence of beauty. Lord Narsingadev, the opulence of strength. Naranarayan Rishi, the opulence of Vairagya. Lord Kapila Dev embodied the perfect opulence of knowledge. He lived with his mother and father, but after short time, Kardama Muni understood he has fulfilled his role as a grihastha. He has given a son who can take care of his wife. Therefore, Kardama Muni accepted the renounced order and entered into the forest once again. One day, Devahuti approached her beloved son, Kapila Dev, inquiring into the most important questions of life. The 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes in great elaborate detail the conversation between Mother Devahuti and Sri Kapila Muni. It is called the discussion of Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means analytical explanation of material nature, how it works, why it works, and who is the ultimate controller, and what is the ultimate goal of living through a life within material existence. Kapila Dev described material nature, karma, the 3 modes. He described the various varnas and ashrams. He described especially time and how it is influencing over all living beings, the jivatma, the paramatma. But his conclusion is that the ultimate perfection of all knowledge is to surrender to Krishna with pure unalloyed devotion. Kapila Dev explained to Devahuti that of all the injunctions in all of the scriptures, 2 are most important: to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. This is the essence of all knowledge. He explained how the same attachment that we have for people in this world, which is the cause of great bondage, if we transfer that attachment to the association of great devotees who have surrendered their lives to the Lord, then through that attachment our hearts will be purified. By hearing from great souls, we learn the art of how to please Krishna. That is bhakti. And that is the culmination of Kapila Dev's instructions to Devahuti. Srila Prabhupada gave an entire series of lectures from the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. In fact, he especially was very, very happy when it was compiled into a book entitled The Teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days in Vrindavan, before leaving his body, he very much was excited for his disciples to read to him this book of the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. They are enriched with such deep, profound, concise philosophy on every essential aspect of life. It is said that Lord Kapila Dev instructed Devahuti at this very place where we are sitting now, Kapila Tirtha. After instructing Devahuti, then Kapila Dev also left into the forest, and Devahuti, although mother, she accepted her son as her spiritual master and understood, even with her parental affection, his supreme position. Thus she achieved the ultimate perfection of life at this place. So the wonderful teachings of Sankhya philosophy are emanating from this place. Just like the sun rays emanates from the sun and extends to light up the whole universe. We are very fortunate to be here. We do not have much time because it is time for prasad and the devotees from Bombay must leave very soon to catch their train. Otherwise, the yatra will continue. Dwarkadish Prabhu, would you like the yatra to continue? Asking Dwarkadish Prabhu this question, it's very easy to guess what he will answer. He never misses any opportunity for yatra. So in this holy place, what I was hoping is we could have questions and answers in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness for many hours here. Because this is a very special place for questions and answers. I was going to invite the mothers to ask questions too, because this is the place where Mother Devahuti asked many questions. But due to the time factor, which Kapila Dev describes in great detail, perhaps greater detail than in any other scripture, Kapila Dev describes the power and the nature of time. So we should respect that here. We should pray. Pray that we can approach the Lord and his representatives in that same spirit as Devahuti. And pray that we can approach our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's books, and those who are speaking from his books, in such a sincere and submissive state of mind that that message penetrates our hearts, destroys the ignorance that has been binding us to the material mode since time immemorial, and illuminates, enriches our natural, eternal, spiritual sentiments for devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. Let us pray that we can, by the mercy of the Lord, understand and realize transcendental knowledge of His loving service. That we can understand and realize that we are not this material body, but we are the eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and that our eternal longing is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Let us pray that by the mercy of the Lord we may be empowered to speak and to act in such a way in our life that we can be an instrument in the hands of the great souls to illuminate others' hearts. Let us pray for pure heart with pure desire. Let us pray at the lotus feet of Lord Kapila Dev and his great representatives that we may always be faithful to live by their precious words. Thank you very much. At this time I pray at the lotus feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas to kindly take prasad to your full satisfaction. I would like to thank all of you very much. This is the official end of the Nasik Yatra. And it is our hope that we can bring the realizations, the joys, the austerities that we have gained here to wherever we go in our life to enrich our devotion and to better serve Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. It is also said that Devahuti expanded herself into the Kapila River, which its origin is here, and then it flows to Tapovan and Nasik, where it merges with Godavari River, the Sangam. So this is a very holy place. This beautiful temple in this charming environment is being cared for by some very wonderful Vaishnavas from the Ramanandi Sampradaya, and they are very, very friendly and kind toward Srila Prabhupada's devotees. When Sanat Kumar Prabhu was here, Paramahamsa Prabhu, the devotees here are always very, very accommodating and hospitable. In fact, when they heard so many hundreds of devotees were coming, they wanted to prepare prasad for everyone. Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to them for their hospitality. Now please take prasad. Hare Krishna.
J.J. Sita.